Today, fibs, bribes, and plain stupidity. Hooks, more first-time buyers. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. Sometimes I think I live in a parallel world compared with the state and federal politicians who combined seem intent on driving more households into oblivion in an attempt to keep those home prices pumping ever higher. This despite the obvious disconnect between prices and affordability and the link between inflated money supply versus debt and home prices, as I discussed yesterday. From before the pandemic in 2020, the largest nominal house price rises have been in Sydney, with prices up around $512,000, followed by Brisbane, with prices up by around $453,000, whilst at the other end of the spectrum, the lowest price rises were in Darwin, with prices up a mere $148,000, and Melbourne, with prices up by just $161,000. But in percentage terms, Adelaide housing prices are up 87.1%, Perth by 86.1%, and Brisbane by 83%. The weakest performer in relative terms is Melbourne, with prices up a mere 20.7%. But now, if you look carefully, the waves of unaffordability have spewed out from Sydney and Melbourne to touch almost every other area of the country. In fact, there are almost no locations now where the median home price is accessible to the median income earner, which is frankly shameful. It's worth remembering that high migration continues to stoke demand for property, while governments continue to announce schemes to drive home prices ever higher by, quote, assisting first-time buyers to enter the market. Funny how these announcements appear to bloom around the time of elections. At the federal election, the Albanese government promised a 5% deposit scheme, which would cover the overwhelming majority of first home buyers. This adds to the pantheon of other schemes already in play, including the Home Guarantee Scheme with no LMI, plus low deposits, 5% or 2% for single parents, the Help to Buy Equity Scheme, up from 30 to 40% shared equity in eligible areas, and the FHSS Scheme, which includes contributions for personal superannuation. But the excellent Productivity Commission reports, including the 2004 publication First Home Ownership and more recent outings, highlights that fueling first home buyer demand with government support was counterproductive. It is not typically home buyers who benefit from the assistance, it's the sellers who receive a higher sell price, the report said. What this means is that assisting home buyers can make housing less affordable, particularly for people who do not qualify for assistance. In fact, the Productivity Commission's 2022 report on the subject went on to conclude that state and territory governments should phase out assistance or at least make it more targeted. Yet, this week, we got the Tasmanian version of this stupidity as Tasmanian Premier Jeremy Rockcliffe announced that his government would provide a $30,000 grant for first home buyers to build their first home. And he also noted on X that we're also going to expand our 2% deposit scheme. And if you qualify for the $30,000 grant, you should be able to use it to cover the 2% deposit. And then some. So you can take a 2% deposit mortgage and the $30,000 to cover the deposits and even perhaps pocket the difference, which is nice. Thanks, taxpayers. As Matt Barry highlighted, by the way, 2% deposit means Aussies borrow more to buy the same home and pay significantly more interest while simultaneously making our banking system dangerously unstable and property markets wildly volatile. Repayments would go from $4,045 a month to $4,955 monthly repayments, and the interest on the average mortgage would go from $797,000 to $976,000. That's worth bearing in mind. Now, up in Queensland, under Christopher Lee government's Boost to Buy program, eligible first home buyers will be able to access a state government-backed loan with just a 2% deposit, undercutting the Albanese government's 5% down scheme. There will be a shared equity scheme too, with the state government holding up to 30% of the equity in a new home or 25% of the equity in an existing home. To be eligible for the Booster Buy programme, an eligible individual will need to be earning under $150,000, with the income limit set for eligible couples of $225,000. The Premier also reiterated on social media that Booster Buy comes on top of the first home buyer support we've already delivered, including the extended $30,000 first home owner grant and abolishing stamp duty for first home buyers purchasing a new build. Until relatively recently, home prices in Tasmania and Queensland were actually a little less horrific than in Sydney, Melbourne or Perth, but that has changed dramatically now, which is perhaps why we're seeing these dumb policies adding yet more petrol on the flames of high home prices. More broadly, the Productivity Commission has long argued that demand-side subsidies such as grants and deposit schemes simply inflate prices by increasing purchasing power without addressing supply constraints. Key points from the reports include that the price effect is that grants and guarantees tend to be capitalised into property prices, benefiting sellers more than buyers. The misallocation of resources means that funds used for first home buyer support could be more effectively directed towards social and affordable housing or homelessness prevention, and the lack of structural reform means that those schemes do not address the root causes of unaffordability, namely land use restrictions, planning delays, and infrastructure bottlenecks. And from a macroeconomic and policy perspective, demand-side schemes are politically popular but economically blunt instruments. They offer visible help to a subset of voters, but actually may worsen affordability overall. And supply-side reforms such as zoning changes, infrastructure investment, and streamlined approvals are harder to implement, but actually are more effective in the long run. Now, there might be some short-term benefits to prospective first home buyers if you happen to be eligible. Lowering entry barriers like avoiding LMI and reducing deposit requirements can shave tens of thousands off upfront costs. So that gives some faster market entry, meaning that buyers can enter the market earlier, potentially avoiding further price growth. But as the Productivity Commission said, most people who are helped would have bought anyway. It just brings it forward a bit. But there are also some huge risks here. For example, higher leverage, meaning buying with a 5% deposit, or worse, 2% deposit, increases financial vulnerability, especially if interest rates were to rise or property values fall. And critically, we get more price inflation because supply-constrained markets mean increased demand from subsidised buyers can push prices higher, eroding affordability for others. And then there are distributional concerns. For example, eligibility caps mean that income and property price caps can exclude many urban buyers, especially in Sydney and Melbourne, and those renting cannot afford to even save for a small deposit without help from the bank of mum and dad. So not everybody is equal in this race for property. And there could be also a regional bias because some schemes like the Regional First Home Buyer Guarantee are geographically targeted, which may not align with job opportunities or personal circumstances. So while current schemes provide tangible short-term assistance to some first-time buyers, they do little to improve systemic affordability. The Productivity Commission's critique remains valid. Without addressing supply constraints, those policies risk fueling price growth and benefiting sellers more than buyers. For meaningful reform, Australia must shift focus from politically expedient subsidies to structural supply solutions, a move that would better serve both first-time buyers and the broader housing market. And by the way, we have to come back to migration. Migration must be dialed back to fit within the current development envelope, something which the Productivity Commission chose not to tackle. Yet, here we are, with more taxpayer-funded bribes designed to appear to help people to get into the market, yet in reality, blowing up the bubble some more. So the question becomes, despite the stupidity, if I were an eligible first-time buyer, would I take the money and buy? Absolutely. It might be economically illiterate, but for the few who make it, these do offer a bridge to home ownership, even as it takes the Ponzi to new heights. This is, of course, all about politics. But just remember, price inflation may erode affordability gains ahead. So there's not a zero-sum game.
Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.